Today is the first Saturday of December, and Bob Rosen has been a music programmer for Red Eye on the first Saturday of each month. But this Saturday, we don't have Bob's musical selections, and nor will we have them ever again. Too suddenly and too early in life, Bob Rosen died of a heart attack November 22nd. His death leaves us feeling an emptiness enveloped in grief. Bob was a big man and gentle, with sincere openness and grace that put you at ease in his company. He was a thoughtful and articulate person, clear and sustained in his pursuit of justice. He came to Canada in 1968 from Los Angeles, where he was born. It wasn't the mountains, and it wasn't the ocean that brought him to Vancouver. It was his refusal to kill Vietnamese for the U.S. Empire. And Bob worked helping others find refuge in Canada, refuge from the Vietnam War in the 1970s, and refuge from the U.S. war against the people of Iraq in recent years. Bob became a school teacher in Surrey, a teacher who absolutely delighted in being with young adolescent children, using his love of music and guitar as a medium that opened minds to new ideas. In recent weeks, though retired for some years, Bob was invited by a local teacher into her class to teach about war and anti-war activism with words and songs. And he was overjoyed at the invitation and exuded enthusiasm when he spoke with me about it. Bob was a longtime activist in his union, the BC Teachers Federation, in Co-Development Canada, building solidarity with peoples in Latin America, with COPE in civic politics, with Independent Jewish Voices and Canada-Palestine Support Network for ending the settler colonial structure that had stolen Palestinian lands and lives. And in each and every of these sincere and sustained commitments, he brought to the fore the pressing need for justice with both passion about its urgency and calm patience in the effort to achieve a shared understanding of the issues. He wanted to swim with others, even when he was swimming against the tide. Here from an interview on Red Eye is Bob speaking of a solidarity project for a Guatemalan peasant organizer who temporarily had to flee his homeland to avoid threats of death becoming reality.
This is a fundraiser for the CCDA, which is an acronym in Spanish for the Campesino Committee of the Highlands in Guatemala. And it came about because their spokesperson, a man named Leocadio Huracan, was speaking in Vancouver 6 months ago or so. And Barbara Coward, an alto from our choir, was at, heard Leocadio speak. And he was here because his organization had been threatened in Guatemala by right-wing paramilitaries, he and his family in particular. And he has a long-time relationship with the Co-Development Canada and with solidarity activists here. So they came here for sanctuary, in effect, and to be safe until they could change the situation. But what they are is they're a cooperative that does several things. They're like a coffee marketing group for fair trade, shade-grown coffee, and they're a kind of collective of campesino farmers. They own a beneficio, which is an outdoor coffee processing plant that does the kind of first step of coffee processing, and they buy at fair trade prices coffee from a whole large number of campesinos in the highlands of Guatemala. They're headquartered near Lake Atitlan in the highlands. But as well as being a cooperative and an economic development organization, they're also very much a political collective, and they struggle in particular for land rights and land reform. They occupy fincas, coffee plantations that are not being utilized by the owners. According to law in Guatemala, if you don't utilize land, it becomes the property of the state or of the tiller. But it's a law that's applied in the breach, generally. So they insist that the law be applied and that farmers are able to own land who didn't own land before. They also work in culture, promoting Mayan culture. They've got an amazing high school in Quixaya, Guatemala, that I visited, where the curriculum is very much tied to Mayan history and mythology, as well as of more contemporary studies. Gender empowerment is a major theme. Leocadio is their main spokesperson, but most of the leadership are women. They are, when I met with them in Guatemala through CODEV, it was an extraordinary experience listening to these women, incredibly articulate, but powerful women who are revolutionary in their outlook. They wear their traditional Mayan clothing. And women play a really important role in that organization. So, multifaceted.
Bob played the guitar, and he sang, and he always enjoyed singing with others in Solidarity Notes Choir, in Gram Partisans, a musical group he formed, at group parties, and in a duo with his close friend and musical companion, Bill Hood, who together they wrote the Ballad of Rachel Corrie. Explaining how he became involved with Solidarity Notes, again from a Red Eye interview, Bob speaks with obviously joyful enthusiasm, the joyful enthusiasm so characteristic of him. First, you're going to hear the voice of Earl Peach, founder of Solidarity Notes, and then Bob Rosen. My question to them both was, every story has a beginning. So where does the story of Solidarity Notes begin?
It begins on the streets of Seattle in 1999 when members of the VDLC went down to the protests against the WTO at that point, and they heard the Seattle Labor Chorus, and they were tremendously impressed by that group and came back and suggested the VDLC that they put up seed money to create a temporary choir to perform for a May Day event in year 2000.
Bob, you joined the choir when it was 3 years young.
That's right.
What attracted you to Solidarity Notes?
Well, actually, I was at that same demonstration in Seattle, and I sang with the Seattle Labor Choir on the street that day, and really liked what they were doing. And I had a bunch of friends who were already working with Earl in this choir, and they kind of urged me to come along. And the idea of a choir that kind of served the movement and was labor-based and working on the social justice issues was very appealing. And I just started coming along and hanging out, and became a habit, I guess.
And you've never regretted this since?
Not at all. In fact, it gets to be more and more fun, I have to say. One of the really cool things about our choir is that, and I give Earl lots of credit for this, the choir is unjuried. You know, anyone who wants to sing with this choir does sing with a choir. And lots of people sing with a choir who have never sung in public. Oh, my wife Eva will not sing in public by herself or even with two or three people. But in the notes with 10 other sopranos, she's doing her thing. And so that's really great. And we actually sound pretty good, I think, bringing people together with really different musical backgrounds. So that's a really special thing about it. And there's a good esprit de corps. That's improved over the years. People really have fun in the notes. People like each other. We like being there. It's also very, I must say, non-sectarian. People, everybody's progressive. We're part of the left, and that's very clear. But people come from many different backgrounds ideologically, and we are remarkably united in our work. Very little kind of nonsensical debate. You know, sometimes there's good debate, but it's a pretty positive place to be.
There's a song from the Spanish Civil War, Si me quieres escribir, if you want to write me a letter, you already know where I am, on the front lines of the fighting. And if we want to keep alive Bob's spirit, it too is on the front lines of our fights for justice. Si me quieres escribir was recorded at the battlefront in the Spanish Civil War with the voices of Pete Seeger, Tom Glazer, and others. And with it, we salute our dearly missed friend, Bob Rosen. There will be a public celebration of Bob's life Saturday, January 21st, 7:30 at the Parrot Center, 6184 Ash Street. Si me quieres escribir.
Si tú quieres comer bien, para...